Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series for the summer holidays entitled Heroes of Faith. This week, John the Baptist is our hero, and our reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James. The reading is taken from Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. The full service, which includes a dramatised story of John as he is held prisoner, can be viewed on our Facebook as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
So this reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. You can imagine Paul dictating his letter, because apparently his eyes weren't very good. And he was there with Timothy. So maybe Timothy did the writing, I don't know. But you can imagine it. Timothy, just take this down, would you, because my eyes aren't great. We're going to write to the church in Philippi. We've done the greeting bit? Yes? Fine, good. Well, write this then. Every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart. I'm so pleased that you have continued on in this with us, believing and proclaiming God's message from the day you heard it right up to the present. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. It's not at all fanciful for me to think this way about you. My prayers and hopes have deep roots in reality. You have, after all, stuck with me all the way from the time I was thrown in jail, put on trial, and came out of it in one piece. All along, you have experienced with me the most generous help from God. He knows how much I love and miss you these days. Sometimes I think I feel as strongly about you as Christ does. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Chris. Just take a pause as we pray that scripture will be opened to us this morning. Spirit of the living God, you who inspired scripture for our learning, for our training, for our guidance, speak to us in the situations that you know are close to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Try to keep to the 10 minutes as we have an all-age service. We still have communion. But the main thought is, how do we regain hope when we are in a place of darkness? That was what John was experiencing. Some people think that John had doubts because he goes, as in the sketch, he goes, ask some friends to say, go to Jesus and ask him, are you the Messiah? Or are we still going to wait? Or do we still have to wait for someone else? No, you've seen in that sketch that John clearly, at the start of his ministry, when he met Jesus, he knew he was the Messiah. He said, "Here, the Lamb of God." He had heard from the heavens as he saw a dove coming, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." So I don't think it was doubt. I think because of the conditions, he was depressed. He was really low. He had given himself to that ministry of preparing the people for the coming Messiah, and that made him end up in a prison. He had stood up for values, saying to powerful people, "It's not lawful for you to marry this woman," and that brought him to a prison. He stood up for what was right, and he's sat in prison now. I don't think he has doubt, but he is down. And I'm glad that the answer that Jesus gives, I'm glad that he's been portrayed in that sketch, because I believe it would have received like that. Jesus didn't condemn, saying, "John, you should have a little bit more faith. You know who I am." But Jesus goes back to tell John what you see and what you heard. Make John focus on what's happening through me. And when we are down, that's what we need to do. Go to Jesus and listen again. Do we see who Jesus is? Do we hear the story of his love and power as we go to Scripture? You see, trust is depending on two elements. You have on one side the knowledge, and on the other side, the experience. And we trust different things. For example, we trust an object. You are sitting on the chair because you have the knowledge, you believe the chair is strong, those are good chairs, you know, and you have the experience of many years of sitting on a chair, and you don't even think about it, you know, about not trusting that chair. Until you sit on a chair with a wobbly feet and it falls. And you say, "Oh, you're so surprised." And maybe the next time you just check the chair a little bit just to make sure, and then the experience is again, "Oh, most chairs are fine," so you don't worry too much about it. That's the experience and the knowledge. Now, if we go to a system, that's a bit more difficult. Let's say you trust an insurance company. How do you start trusting an insurance company? Well, maybe you have a few friends who said, "You know, car insurance, we are with this company, they're quite good." So you hear about those stories, you get knowledge, and you trust your friends, or you know, you insure your car with that company. Then come the time when you have an accident and you make a claim. Ah, now it's the experience, the personal experience. And you might have a good experience. Actually, they've been very helpful. "Yes, this is a good company. I'm going to keep with this." Or you have a horrible experience, and all of a sudden, you said, "Oh, can I trust this company?" And you might change your mind. What about a value? You stand up for a value like honesty. Now, that's even more difficult, because certain values make sometimes your life more complicated. I had a personal experience when I was a student. I could apply for a bursary for my studies, but because I was still living at home, I had to declare in the way my family had declared their taxes, and it was not, according to me, very right. And I didn't feel, if I was to be honest, I could fill that form honestly. So I didn't. I didn't get a bursary, and I had to work two jobs to pay for the start of my study. It was hard. But that's when you start trusting and standing up for values. It's maybe a little bit harder because the experience might make your life a bit more complicated. But at the end, I'm glad I did, because I do believe that honesty on the long term is a value that will bring society much more together. If we all grow dishonest, it's terrible. And as Christians, we are called to be light and salt by God's grace. So by God's grace, he gave me the strength to go through that. But what about a trust in a person? This is what we're talking about. And that's what we've drawn, the experience. He trusted in God, he believes that Jesus is the one they were waiting for, but that led him to prison. And what Jesus do? He says, tell John, look, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on my account. And there are three elements. He focuses attention to the good news is proclaimed to the least, the last, and the lost. The character of God is manifested through me. But blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble. The heart is a person, is Jesus. And from the start of the early church, that's what they were proclaiming, Jesus. In Acts, when they had the first chance to say something about an act of kindness, a healing of a lame person, they said, you know, don't look at us. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. No, they were very hard. No, they could say, no, we haven't crucified. The Romans said, no, you did. You also did. We all did, actually. In the film, when Jesus... I'll come back to that. But you crucified. God raised him from the dead, and he is now alive. And that's what he says. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven and on earth given to mankind by which we must be saved. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, is also in prison. And yet, there we have a different kind of language. Philippians is known as a letter of joy. It's not the main theme, but there's so much joy. So how is it that Paul could be joyful in his circumstances? Well, I think there are elements in that letter to the Philippians that springs. Paul was focused on the gospel. He was believing that the gospel had the power to transform, and whatever the circumstances, as long as he shared that, there was some kind of joy in him, even if he was in prison. And he was joyful because he knew that gospel had bear fruit in Philippi and that those Christians were also standing up for their faith. They also had quite difficult circumstances. So when we are in a difficult place, we don't deny the circumstances. We don't deny the experience. We recognize it might shake our trust, like when we have a bad experience with a chair or a bad experience with an insurance, that's just being human. That's fine. But we don't forget who Jesus is. We go to him. We allow him to minister to us. We allow him to tell us, don't worry, I am with you. I am walking this difficult path with you. David's had that faith. You are my good shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of darkness, I will not fear, for you are with me. Paul rejoices because they had stuck with him, whether he was in jail, whether he was on trial, but also because they were experiencing God's generous help in their own problems. So another thing is, let's share those stories. When we had it difficult, and when we experience God's generous heart and help, so that we don't try to fix other people, we just say, look, I'm going to walk alongside with you. I believe God's goodness and he will be with you. And Paul then says, there is more. There is more you can experience, even if it's hard. I pray that your love will grow, not just as a flimsy feeling, but it will be deep. it will be grounded in knowledge and insight, that you will learn to discern how to live. And I like that Chris read from the Message translation, that you will make Jesus proud. Now that's a little bit of a dangerous translation, because sometimes we can be energized by a desire to please. Now, the truth is that you can't make God love you more, ever. Whether you're at your worst or whether you're at your best, God's love is God's love. You can't earn it. God's not going to love you better because now you walk more in line with his plans. I think his heart will be with greater joy because you will flourish, you will grow, but don't try to live the Christian life so that God can love you better, or that Jesus will be more proud in a sense of, you need to earn. No, Jesus loves you. But Jesus wants you to grow because he knows how to give life. And then this promise there, the one who began a good work in you will also carry it to completion. Made that promise yours. And it's not just an individual promise. Actually, Paul, I think, had more the body. What God has started within St. James throughout the years, the decades, or where we are now, God is able to make it even greater and to bring it to completion. He was confident. And then I think what's important, even if it's hard, to learn to be grateful. To have a heart of gratitude. Even if it's difficult, there are still things we can be grateful for. It might be hard at home, but still we have a home. It might be hard at work, but we might still have an income. We still have people who care around us. We might walk and be impressed by nature and say, no, God is great. So how can we grow that attitude of gratitude? That was Paul's heart. I thank my God every time I remember you. He says in another place, rejoice always in the Lord. I don't think he was denying his circumstances, but he had learned to trust. He had learned to trust, to grow in that trust. Whatever the circumstances, God was with him. So it's not being passive. And there might be some very practical thing to do if we find we're in a difficult place. Sometimes we need to find something to do practically. It could be journaling, writing your thoughts, your feeling, and bring them into a prayer. Sometimes people do things like exercise or new hobby or house tasks. So God knows that we are human beings with bodies, and there are also practicalities we can do too. It's important to have friends that we can be around, but sometimes we need to go to a professional. There's nothing wrong about saying, I need help, to be able to explore those feelings with a counselor. But in all, bring with it the presence of Jesus. Always bring with it the presence of Jesus. And in somehow, every day when we wake up, maybe quietly saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is another day. There might be some challenges. This is the day that the Lord has made. I can rejoice. I can find moments to rejoice and be glad in it. So we find and sustain that hope by being honest with ourselves, by keeping the right perspective, which is focusing on Jesus, allowing that promise that what he has started in us, he will also complete it. And by growing an attitude of gratitude. Let's pray. Jesus, you know us better than ourselves. You know where we are. For some, it feels more like summer season in their lives, and there is a lot of joy, and it's maybe not difficult to trust. The experience is sweet. For others, the experience might be much more bitter and more difficult. By your Holy Spirit, remind us all that once we give our life to you, you promise to be with us always. By your Spirit, show us a way forward as we learn this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your own understanding. Follow him and he will guide you. Lord, continue your good work and thank you for your promise that you will bring it to completion. And teach us to find ways to be people of gratitude, looking around to the blessings we have and not to the things we lack. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.